Everybody. Oh, wow. And it was funny because I had met Jason like seconds before going in.
Okay.
And he was such a little shit to me. Like,
yeah, oh to me God. Too.
He was such a little shit to me. And I was like, oh man, I hope he doesn't, I hope he doesn't get it.
It just felt like it ended so fast. And I never really felt like I was able to, that closure, right? So essentially this is the tribute to the fans, for the fans, with you guys, with the fam.
I love that. You know,
but yeah, thanks for being here. Thank you so much. I know you're super busy. But
not
yeah.
as busy as you.
No, that's not true. That is not true at all. That is not.
I got Jessica.
Remember on set, I always be like, Jessica, Marie Garcia. You're like, stop it. Well, listen, you know, as seen on Instagram, you are married. Did that change? Jessica Marie Garcia, is it different now? What's going on? So I say it right.
No, you say it perfect.
Okay, cool. Jessica Marie Garcia.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you've been on Living Maddie, How to Get Away with Murder, On My Block. You've been on so many different shows. Diary of a Future President, so many different things. First question, how does it feel to be a boss?
It feels so good, but it also feels so good sitting across from you, because you were just killing it. I'm so proud of you.
I feel like every time I see you guys, there's always like that spark, you know? There's always that spark. And, you know, we did a show for so long, became a family. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't know that you work these long hours and you guys become a little, you know, a fam, and then it's over. Yeah. And then you go on hiatus or whatever. And you don't see him as often. So it's always nice to see you. And, you know, Julio's coming on here tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It was so funny because I texted him and I was like, so how'd it go? And he was like, oh, mine's tomorrow. I was like, oh, yeah. No. I was like, I have no point of reference. No, I think it's beautiful that we've all stayed in touch and that you are, you know, making this tribute to the show and for the fans. Because, you know, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have had season two at all.
Yeah.
So right? I appreciate that.
You know, a huge part of the world knows us from these shows.
Yeah.
And these films and these projects. I'm very curious on your story. I know it. But for everybody who hasn't heard it in depth, I want to know about Jessica, where you started and what led you to acting, this crazy, wild industry that we're in, right?
Well, I've always loved acting. Yeah. I think I always say, like, literally in every interview, I think there's going to be like a YouTube compilation of me someday where it's just like the same story over and over again. But yeah. I feel like I was like birth saying a monologue. Like, I just have always loved being the center of attention. I'm an only child. So I've loved to perform all my life. But I just didn't really have any point of references of anyone who looked like me. So I didn't really know if this was something that could happen, but I always wanted to do it. And then I saw like Funny Girl and I was like, oh my God, Barbra Streisand is everything. How do I do this? How can I become this? And then I saw John Leguizamo and Freak. And that was just life-changing for me. I live for him. And to have like a Latino tell these stories that I thought were so unique to me, but were more universal to our community.
Sure.
And have the spotlight on him and have him be funny.
Yeah.
Was everything.
John's the man. He's such a great actor. I remember one of the first movies I saw him, he was in Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Oh,
he was so good in that. That was one of those movies that like, you know, Shakespeare, and everyone's like, I don't want to watch Shakespeare. I don't want to listen to that. But that movie translated so well onto the screen. I ended up actually playing Tybalt in a movie that'll never be seen.
We talked about it. It'll never get brought to daylight.
No. Yeah. I genuinely don't even know what happened. We shot it. We had a good team. Timberbeck Mamatov did Wanted and Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer.
Which is also great.
Yeah, right. And I got to work with him. Kerry Williams, he has a movie on Amazon, it's called Emergency. Went to Sundance, did all of that, but it never came out. It still can, absolutely. And I have seen movies that, like, you know, they have the film festival run and then it comes out like years later. You know, so maybe it'll come out.
Don't lose hope. I'm really excited.
Hey, I won't be bummed out because I had a cool haircut.
I want to see you do Shakespeare.
A little mustache and everything. Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you grew up in Florida, right?
I did. Orlando. So like not even like the cool part of Florida.
That's cool.
If there is one.
My cousin
lives in Orlando. It's like Miami. No, really?
Yeah. I think you've met him, Fernando.
Yes. That's awesome. You know, it's funny because I feel like every Latino I know that's in LA is like, oh, that is from Florida, is from Miami.
Oh, yeah.
Miami. And I'm like, I'm from Orlando.
He's from Orlando, but he might even be from Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, see, that's another place. I'll take that.
But he says he's from Miami. Oh, he's always, like,
that's ridiculous. He's like,
yeah, bro, man.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. Like your biggest fan. He's always asking really? About you.
Oh, never mind. That's not ridiculous. Yeah. I love that about him. I think he's so sweet.
He sees like all your projects and everything. He'll send me photos. He's like, is this your co-star? I'm like, yes, sir.
Oh, that's so funny. No, where's he?
He's in Fort Lauderdale. Or no, Miami. Miami.
He's in Miami.
Miami.
Ooh, so, you know,
I've talked to the whole cast about like the audition process. Getting into OMB, the chem reads. For me, it was audition and the callback was a chem read. And I want to ask you about your process. I think, if I heard correctly, I think you were there, but I missed you. Like, I left as you, or I got there
I
as you left.
I think so, because I didn't see Julio either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, my journey was a little different because I'm a little older than you guys.
It's not just true. A little bit. That's not true. You could be my hermanita.
Yeah, no, for real, for real. I'm your younger sister. Anyway, I wasn't submitted for it because they were looking for like 14 to play for, like 18 to play 14. Okay. And I was neither one of those ages. Yeah. So I didn't get submitted. And then I had one of my best girlfriends, Victoria Morales, hit me up and she was like, listen, I just read this pilot. It's amazing. I'm going out for this character named Jasmine. It's not me. It's you. And I was like, what? And then I read it and I was like, oh my God, I love this so much. It was something I had never read before. It was for a bunch of kids that would have been side characters in other white leading stories that I was like, hell yeah, I'm about this. And then when I auditioned, I was a little nervous. I had in the beginning of my career, I was word perfect. I would never change a word in audition. I wouldn't dream of it. As I grew older, I realized, and just more comfortable with my craft, I realized that what you're hiring is what I'm going to give you. And one of the things that I want to show you is what I would bring to this character, you know, and I'm going to show you that in the audition as well. If that's something you want to change, you know, like direct me and, you know, give me a note and be like, hey, word perfect.
Totally open to
I will 100 will respect that. Yep. But I want to give you, you know, a little bit of
flavor, right?
Exactly. Yeah, what I'm going to do. Too. Yeah.
And it loosens you up in the room. Yeah.
And it sets you apart, you know, and one of the things I pride myself on is being like, you know, a little, you know, quick on my feet.
Yeah.
So I
auditioned. Directors love seeing that too. They always get impressed, like you said.
Yeah. Or at least, I mean, it's not the same thing over and over again, you know. Yeah. So I added a little bit of some lineage, some flavor, and they liked it. And I was so thankful for that. And after that, I think I actually went to one more. I went to a callback, I want to say. And met with like a lot of people. And then I did the chemistry read. I want to say.
With Daniela and the whole team up
everybody,
there.
Everybody. Oh, wow. And it was funny because I had met Jason like seconds before going in.
Oh, okay.
And he was such a little shit to me. Yeah, to me too. Oh my God. He was such a little shit to me. And I was like, oh man, I hope he doesn't, get it. And
I knew off the bat he got it. Saw him, I was like, as soon as we performed and saw him and I was like, he got it. And I
mean,
saw
he looks like
X-Men
a star
too.
From like a mile away. I'm like, this kid is perfect
and
for TV.
And he was coming off of Logan. I was like, without a doubt, he got it. I don't know about everybody else, but he for sure got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were, the only thing I remember too is that there were multiples of everybody but Jasmine's.
Oh, wow.
I was waiting for another Jasmine to come and that didn't happen. And I was like, yo, is this a good sign or like a really bad sign that they're like saving her? For like, you know what I mean?
I didn't know
how to feel about it. But then they were like, we're going to do some improv. So I told Jason right before, I was like, listen, we're going to do improv. And he was like, okay. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. And then like, you know, we killed it. And he ended up being like the love of my life.
No, but, yeah. Your guys' chemistry was like unreal. It was so perfect.
Because we want to murder each other. But like in the most like loving, like
completely.
We always go out. Like he's never in town.
Comedic timing was perfect.
Thanks.
Right?
You.
It was like such a perfect, like you give, he takes, then he gives, you take. And I think that's a beautiful thing in acting. Sometimes you work with actors that like just don't give you anything.
Yeah.
Ever.
And you know what you do
themselves.
When that happens? You run them over.
Yeah. You dominate the performance and And you kind of have to use it. You have to use that nothing that they're giving you and just play with it. But that's something I really admired watching you guys work together. You guys would make every scene just come to life. So seamlessly too.
Well, it's easy with everybody. You know, we had such a great connection. Like we became an instant family quicker than besides being on Liv and Maddie that I'd ever seen. And it just made it fun and it made it more authentic. And, you know, a lot of the times when I was having these scenes with like Sierra, it was like I was really talking to like my girlfriend because she is, you know, and I think that also put our show in a different category. Yeah. because you felt our friendships.
Totally.
And sometimes you see these casts that they seem like close, and then you see their interviews.
Yeah.
And you're like,
oh no, for sure.
Y'all don't like each other at all. Like, it's just like, yes, I think Sarah's the best.
Yeah.
She would always show up on, no, like, you know, completely. What I mean? And you're like, y'all don't like
and
each other.
I think a big part of that was what, like, Sierra, Brett, Jason, they all live together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, believe it or not, that is work, right? Because you're creating, whether it's on purpose or on accident, you're creating such a powerful chemistry, and it's going to translate on, mm-hmm. it's going to translate on screen. The audience will pick up little things, and you know, those, they created something. And then we, you know, we were part of it. We fed off their energy.
We were guest stars in yeah. their yeah. in their story, because yeah. the stories that the three of them have in, from their living situations yeah. are the best.
I know.
The best.
And then we became the core four and more, right?
Yeah, the it was core the core five. Four, and I was like, hi.
Yeah, and season like, two, yeah. I love that, though. I love that. What was for you, like, one of the most challenging parts of shooting that show? Because, like, ooh. For me, it was the beginning. I had such a hard time shooting it, and, like, you know, it was my first project ever. And I was so nervous, and I just thought I sucked every time. And I was like, dude, I'm going to get fired. And I was just going through so much shit. And like, when I got to just focus on the show, it was one of those moments where I was like, there's no way this is real. This is going to get taken away from me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But as time progressed and you guys are just so like professional, I was like, yo, I just got to just look up to them, see what they're doing, what they're not doing, and work off of them.
Well, you never gave that. Like, you always seemed very confident, always like, you probably just really
yeah, in my head
it.
I was like,
working
with a pro here, Jessica.
No,
I don't know,
oh
what
my
I'm
God.
Doing here, first day on the bus next to star.
I think we all did that. I think we were all like, I just really think that the other person is so talented and I want to like impress them. But I think that I like that mentality of, oh my God, I'm gonna get fired, doesn't go away. It kind of, if you really care about something, you do have a little voice in you that's like, this could be taken away because I love it so much. I don't think that's bad. I think you just have to be able to use it and hear that voice and then go, no, I deserve this. Like, you have to be able to talk yourself down. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having those feelings, because I think it shows you that you care.
Absolutely.
Like, I always really applauded your work ethic.
Mm.
You know, you always were, you were really disciplined on you working out, eating healthy, yeah. treating your body well. Yeah. Like, yeah. being really humble about everything.
I remember those cookies on sale. I was like, gosh.
No,
I
but you
some.
Did. You did so yeah. good. Well, you and Julio, because y'all were like shirtless.
Yeah.
All this stuff. My ass yeah. was like, lunch was so good today, guys.
Yeah, Julio, man. Julio crushed it. Julio is such a committed.
Yeah.
He's like Julio Bale, Christian Bale's nephew right there.
I'm dead. That's literally what
that's,
I'm calling
no,
him.
No, yeah. No, for sure. What was some of the most like memorable moments for you? On the show.
Oh, peeing in a sink.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like one of the scenes that is like imprinted in my mind forever.
God, I'm so sorry.
No, in a good way. It was like super funny.
It was funny, but it was also
during
like
the lockdown, right?
Such a, oh, yeah. And it was like, it was painful because yeah. I had to like squat in that sink for so long.
Oh, no.
So long.
No.
And then
leg day.
And I was still like new in my career feeling yeah. that I was like, I can't ask that. Tell them like, oh my God, my knees hurt. Can we put something yeah. here? And it took a while yeah. for someone in the crew to be like, do you want something? Yeah. And I was like, can I ask for that? They're like, yes, please yeah. ask for that. And I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know.
No,
I don't know
yeah. When you first start off on a set, you feel really like timid to ask.
Absolutely.
You just want to get the job done. You don't want to get fired, right? That's how I was on the first season. I was like, I just simply don't want to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
But season two, after the show got received and it changed almost like everything for everyone, right?
Yeah.
How did that feel for you?
Oh my God, it blew my mind. You know, I thought being on Liv and Maddie was going to be like such a peak for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because you're on so many projects that don't do well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's there's no guarantee. And this was probably like the biggest network, the biggest show I have been a part of.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how it was going to be received. Uh-huh. I know I would have loved to have seen it growing up.
Yeah.
So feeling that was insane. I think I knew we had hit a peak
yeah.
when there was reaction videos on YouTube
yeah.
about our whole season or like the episodes, and just yeah. like hearing people talk about my character was just like, oh
yo,
my God,
I was gonna
terrifying.
Ask, like, you have a whole little army of fans who really see themselves in your characters,
yeah.
not just from the show, but from other shows, right? What is that like? I mean, seeing people that really identify with you as a person on screen and off screen, because you're super vocal on Instagram, which I love. You put out like amazing stuff of inspiration and motivation. So, I like we said earlier, I think there's a lot of bad stuff out there, but that's why I really want to get you guys, because I know you guys stand for just good, right? So how does that feel, being like a voice for the younger generation of kids who look up to you?
It feels great. It feels, it's hard on days where I'm hard on myself.
Okay.
But at the same time, they motivate me, and they're like, they see something in me that they see it in themselves, and I don't want to hate the parts of myself that they see, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I just read some crazy haiku to you.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That's deep. That's deep.
But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think about how we talk about our bodies in general and like what we grow up with. And like, I was just talking to a friend of mine, like, whenever my mother would talk badly about her body, I didn't realize that it was affecting me on a different level, because I have her body. You know, why would I don't, she hates it, so then I must.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a weird generational thing that you can put down on your kids.
Yeah.
So I'm like very, very vocal about talking really positively around my daughter, even though she's not even two. It starts early.
I mean, it starts really early, like you said. It gets put in their subconscious, and they grow up with those traits, right?
Yeah. So whenever I'm having, like, I think it's really easy to like post something on Instagram and want to change yourself. And my big rule is I will never change my body.
Yeah.
Like I want, you know, when I was pregnant, when I was doing Fenty, you can see my stretch marks. Yeah. I don't care. I think that they're something I wear with pride.
Yeah.
And I want other people to know that it's beautiful. And absolutely, the only way we're going to show other sides of beauty is if that's exactly what we do. We show them. So I'm happy to be a part of that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, as seen on your Instagram, you're a mama now.
I am.
How does that feel? I mean, has that impacted your work in the art side and like in the business? How has that affected it?
1,000,000%.
I hear when you have a kid, you just become way more vulnerable, and like you're able to tackle your emotions and connect with your emotion way better as an artist, as an actor.
It's funny because I did it was kind of like a stage production. Like it was a reading of a short a few months ago, and I was having a baby and the first open on me having a baby.
Yeah.
So I was, doing the motions and doing this cries and immediately bawling. It was something about tapping back into that moment that was just so
recent too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's also part of postpartum.
Yeah. But, I have heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it changes everything. My motivation for being an artist is different.
Yeah.
I before wanted to, of course, appreciate the craft and like all of that, but I also wanted to be super successful and I want to be a star.
Of course.
I don't give a shit about that anymore. I want to be able to work so that I can give her everything and for her to not want for anything. That's all I care about. I never thought I was going to get to a point where I would be that selfless.
Yeah.
I'm an only child. I'm a performer. Yeah. I was like, it's all about me all the time.
No, yeah, yeah.
I was scared to be a mom because I was scared that that wouldn't go away. And then I would be like still just number one, number one, number one. Wow. And I was actually so, so surprised how easily it was like, oh no, I don't. I mean, I have to make myself a priority now because if I'm not good, she's not going to be good. So my art has changed because my motivation has changed, but it hasn't stopped my love for it or like my need for it, because it's such a therapy for me.
Wow.
And it also like, puts clothes on her back.
Of course. No, of course. That's incredible. Yeah. I was interviewing my buddy Brian Ortega, and he said the same thing. He's like, I go into the UFC cage and I do it all for my kids. I'll do anything for my kids. These are, these are his babies, right? Obviously, I haven't experienced that yet. I do want kids though. It's coming.
Oh, you're going to be a great dad. You have time.
Yeah.
All the time in the world.
I got some time right now. We're doing the pod, we're doing the actors campus, and got some other stuff. But yeah, kids are on the to-do list.
Guess what? Once they're there, they're always on there.
No, I know exactly.
that doesn't go away.
I want to make sure I'm ready for the day. So when the day comes, dive into it fully. I've always been the type of person that's like, I either dive into it fully or not at all.
Yeah, I know many men like that. Yeah.
I cannot do that. I think that's one of the most important jobs in this world, being a parent, being a loving mother, being a great father, being a role model. It's like, come on. Being an only child, and growing up in this industry from pretty young age, right? I mean, you were on Living Maddie. Like you've been in this game for, you've done some really great projects. seeing the industry change so much. I mean, what are your thoughts on like everything being online nowadays for aspiring actors, right? Because they didn't start the way we started.
Right.
They're starting with Zoom callbacks, Zoom auditions, self-tapes, virtual meetings, and all this stuff. I mean, seeing the industry change so much, what are your thoughts on that?
It's funny because I never thought about it that way, that there's a whole fleet of actors that don't know what it's like to go into a room and audition.
Yeah.
I hope it does change. Mm. I love that they have an accessibility to people that wouldn't be able to, because even on our show, like everyone, Sierra, Jason, and Brett were all implants from other states. Did you say that? Implants? That's weird. Did you say that? Do people say that? Or like, yeah.
They were chichis.
They were implanted from another state into our state.
Yeah. They had to fly out. Yeah, they had to fly out from like Atlanta. Jersey. I like implants.
I don't know what that means. Anyway,
I've been implanted here.
That before and decided I'd use it because I'm fancy. It didn't work. Because of that, I feel like it's great that we can see talent that we wouldn't usually, that we wouldn't normally, because you have to have a source of privilege in order to come here. Well, from other states, like, you need money, you need to be able to move out here.
You need a community, you need resources, you need all so of that much stuff.
So the fact that people can do it more remotely is great.
Yeah.
But
and you have a strong community.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I go to your gatherings, you have friends who have been with you for years.
Yeah.
Your friend Maddie. Victoria, Liv and Maddie. Like, when I went to your wedding, like, all of those people were people you've met in this industry who've stayed friends with you. How do you manage that? Right? Because some people they have a hard time finding their clique. They have a hard time finding their people.
I did too. It took me 6 years to find them since I moved out here.
Wow.
Years of not having like the greatest of friends that I thought were there for me that didn't have like some sort of agenda. So when I met the cast of Liv and Maddie, even though they were so much younger than me, it felt like we were coming up together.
Mm.
And I met this group of people that have this like heart that surpasses the agenda.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's so hard to find friends out here that would be there for you, the good, the bad, the indifferent, you know?
Even what your friend did, sending you over the audition, like, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
You don't hear about actors doing that. They get an audition, even if they're not right for it, they'll keep it to themselves.
Oh,
you know?
We live in a different world. Like, I'm telling you, so many of my Latina friends that are in this industry, we are on text things that are like, hey, did you guys get this? Hey, did you guys go out for this? Because like, if it's not me, I want it to be you.
Exactly.
You can never take anything away from me that was meant for me.
Yeah.
I would rather get it on my own merit and my own talent and because of whatever,
than,
you know what I mean? I want the best to get it. And
if it ain't I want my best friend to get it. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying? I want my people, my team to get it.
Exactly.
And if it is for me, well, then I'm going to do everything to get it.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out, don't work out.
Those days are kind of like over, I feel like. I think like there's still a little bit of that, but I think it takes a bunch of us and the loud ones to like mute that 100%. Kind of like negativity. But
no, 100%,
I mean, they were all like, when I had Selena, I was a 5-day induction. So I was in the hospital for like a week.
No.
And they were in my house all day, every day, taking my mother out, making sure she was okay because it was COVID, so she couldn't be in the hospital
room. Right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
It was bad.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
It's bad, yeah.
I heard stories. I heard stories about giving birth during COVID, and it was just really hard on the moms because they couldn't have their support team there.
Yeah, and I was on the like looser end of COVID.
Okay.
But they still, once Adam was there, he could not leave.
Yeah, I heard that.
And it was like,
wow.
They didn't have to do that.
5 days.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine. I really
hope you never have to.
I truly couldn't. That is insane.
Yeah.
Wow. My mom tells me, so she's like, Diego, she's like, you know, you're the most painful one, right? She's like, you better take me out to dinner.
You should.
All right, mom, I got you. Always.
You instantly become nicer to your parents once you become a parent.
Really?
Because you get it. You get it. And that love that you didn't always reciprocate as a kid, that they never stopped.
Yeah.
And they're just dealt with your like
Your BS ass. And all that. Yeah, especially the teen years, right?
Yeah.
How were you as a teen? Speaking of that. Yeah.
Such a brat.
Yeah.
I mean, I was always a good kid. Like, I really wasn't like a rebellious kid until I like started smoking weed, and like it's very yeah. like not okay in Florida.
Yeah.
So besides that,
we all had that era.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I'm still in that era. But it was just one of those things that I wanted to feel more independent, and I had a mouth, and my mom was always like, yeah, you know, have an opinion.
Yeah.
And that turned into like back talk, and that's yeah. when things didn't go so well.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was really great. Yeah. I never, like, I wasn't like a sneak out kid or.
Okay. I was a sneak out kid. I would get into a lot of trouble. Yeah. I don't think I've ever said this, but I loved to steal at the time. I was very young. I was like 15. I had like, I just really liked to steal things. Like, I remember I stole
Diego,
a golf
I didn't
cart.
Hear you. Steal things?
I was a travieso, like really bad. But it's funny looking back on it, because when you're a teen, you don't think about your actions having grave consequences.
The ripple effect, yeah.
Yeah, at all. You're just like, I'm young. I got time to recover from this and bounce back from it. But now looking back, I'm like, dude, you're such an idiot. Like, you could have gone down such a bad path, gone in jail. Like, so many bad things. But you know what I'm saying?
There's a science to that, though.
Yeah, there is.
Your lobe, it's like whatever.
The frontal lobe, yeah, something like that, right? It's not developed until 25.
That's supposed to close. That's supposed to help you with empathy.
Yeah.
It doesn't fully develop until you're in your 20s.
It's so weird. Now that I'm 25, I finally have empathy. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm totally
And
joking.
We lost it for you. Crazy.
No,
that's
I'm
crazy
kidding.
How that
My
happened.
Girlfriend did just say that. She's like, you're different this year. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, you're just more mature. And I was like, hey. I am 25. I was like, frontal lobe's done now. Maybe that is what it is.
Might as well retire. 25.
No, yeah. So speaking of like the brain, the mind, how do you manage your mental health in this industry? Because this is a crazy
therapy.
We've been through what? Pandemic, the strikes, which, you know, we're releasing this after the strikes. And but how has it been for you? Like, just seeing these obstacles come your way, for all of us.
You know, I feel really blessed that I had on my block so that financially I was am able to survive, because had I not, I don't know where I would be. I would have been in the apartment I was before the show. I don't know if I would be able to afford that. Like, what we do is so scary, because there's just no guarantee.
Faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which is one of the reasons picketing and this strike is so important for us, is just the legacy of our craft and our industry.
Of course.
But it's affected a lot, mostly in me trying to use it to my advantage. Which is seeing a therapist postpartum was really hard on me.
Wow.
So I knew that if I was going to be my best mom, I had to take care of myself.
Yeah.
So I just started therapy, which has been so helpful. I recommend it very much.
No, especially being an actor, you know, a lot of my acting coaches, they would always tell me, they're like, hey, you're not dealing with a normal job here.
No.
Especially if you want to be one of the greats, right? Cause there's this misconception that people have. It's like, you're just acting. It's like, yeah, maybe the guy who's giving a half-assed performance is just acting, but the artist who's really putting it out there, putting their heart into it, they're giving it all of their emotional life, their trauma. They're reliving all of that stuff. Right. And all the greats, they're like, go see a therapist.
Yeah.
It'll help you be even better of an actor. And if that's your goal, go do it.
You have to be able to turn it off.
Yeah. Turn it off. Yeah.
My whole thing is, my tip is, I used to always give it something physical.
Mm.
For Jasmine, it was her earrings.
Mm.
I needed to be able to take that off to be able to take her off.
Oh,
and
wow.
Know that I didn't have to be like all the time.
Yeah.
Because doing that at 5 in the morning is draining when you had to put your dog down the night before. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, we have to come to work and be funny with a lot of horrible things that are going on. So I had to give it something physical for me. But I just I remember going to acting class and doing, heart-wrenching role after heart-wrenching role, week after week. And I was like, why am I just so down? And it was like, because I lost my son for the last 3 weeks, or I just going through like a murder in the next 3 weeks. Like, you know, you just go
this
through so
darkness.
Much.
Yeah, this dark cloud,
And you have to be able to be aware of it and leave it there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. I remember going to acting class and always be listening to like depressing music, trying to get in the zone. Then I'd go home and I'd be all messed up.
Yeah.
And when you're first starting off, when you're young, you're just like, I'll do it all for the craft. I'll go down to those levels. And it's just not good for you longevity wise.
Right.
If you want to be in this game for a while, you have to know when to turn it on and turn it off. For sure. It's crazy how much this industry can really change one's life.
Yeah.
I know for me, it was interesting to see the people I grew up with and how they reacted to, you know, obviously the show and all of that stuff. But for you, what was it like sort of with your family and your day ones? People who weren't in the industry, maybe, like, did you get ex-boyfriends calling you like, hey, Living Maddie, like, how you doing?
Yeah. Exes. I've had family members from a side of a family that I'd never speak to. It's like, hey, I know last time I saw you, you were 2 months old, but can you do me a favor?
I need money.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. I literally had a family member call me wanting, mind you, I've never spoken to her, wanting me, that she knew a girl that was moving to California and she wanted her to live with me.
No, no way.
So that I could help her become a star.
No.
And then when I said, absolutely not. Yeah. Hi, you don't know me. You've never. Yeah. She was like, I've seen all your movies. I was like, my movies? I've done like 2 movies in my whole career. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I was like, you don't even know. Like, it was so heart-wrenching because it's like, you literally only care about me for a status that you think that I have.
Yeah.
And that you kind of have to realize that when you start becoming successful, and it sucks that you have to kind of be like, why are you talking to me right now?
Yeah.
Do you think I can do something for you?
What's your agenda here?
Yeah. So yeah. Day ones was really important, but those were literally my day ones were Liv and Maddie day ones.
Oh, wow.
And you're talking about people that are in the same struggle as me.
Yeah.
So they're never after anything from me because they're doing the same thing.
They're in the same boat. They understand, you know, the industry. They understand your wants and the struggles.
And the ups and downs.
The ups and downs, exactly.
Because you're hot 1 minute and you're nothing the next minute, right? Exactly, you know that once you're getting invited to all the award shows and it's like.
That is so funny, yeah.
And then they're like, who?
Yeah.
Who are you?
You know what's funny? I recently just went to a, what are those things where they give you the free gifts? Like a gifting?
Gifting suite.
So I went to one of those, right? And right across the street.
Also, there where was my gifting suite? I want to go to that.
Dude, they're so crazy. It's like a free vacation to like the Bahamas. I'm like, what is going, this is, why are you giving this to me for free? And then I'm just like, oh, okay, promotion. Makes sense.
I will take a picture.
But I'll take it, yeah, take for sure with that. Selfie for free trip.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
But anyway, I was walking out of the gifting suite and across the street, it was in the Beverly Hills hotels. And I remember seeing they were doing like an award show. I don't want to say the organization name. I'll leave the names out of it. But we've been there.
Yeah.
And we've done so much for them. And I literally went in there just to use the restroom. Just to use the restroom before the Uber got there. And I saw the person who runs the event, and they're like, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing? You're not on the list. I was like, hey, what's up? So and so. And he's like, what are you doing? He's like, you can't be in here. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, we got the event. And I didn't know about the event. And I was like, I look over, I see the event name, and I'm like, oh, cool. You guys are doing that today? I was like, wait, why didn't I get invited? He's like, dude, you're not on the list. You got to leave. And I was like, what is going on? I was like, you invited us 3 times.
You're not invited.
And he would not let me. I was just like, all right, when you need a favor,
1,000,000%.
When these films come out, when all this stuff happens, when you're trying to come on the pod with me and Jessica, you're not invited.
You're not going to the pod. You're off the
pod. But I was like, it was one of those moments where I was like, damn, man, people can switch up very fast when you're you know, low. And when you're high, again, they hit you up, they call you, they want a favor.
Oh, yeah, because that person will hit you up again.
Yeah.
And you need to remember their face. Not for anything vindictive other than like,
yeah.
Just that look.
No,
like,
for
remember
sure.
that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we did the show on my block. It was iconic. It was for a lot of young people seeing themselves in our shoes. Starting off in this industry, as mentioned, it's really hard starting off. If you were to restart your career literally right now, well, how would you do it? Because I always tell everybody, I'm like, the times are different. I truly don't know what I would do. But I want to ask like someone with more knowledge, you know?
I, to be honest with you, would do one thing the same, which is try and start on Disney or Nickelodeon, try and get on a kid's show, because that fan base is so incredible and will love you and hold on to you and grow with you to an extent that I never anticipated. And so many people starting out are like, I'm not going to do Disney. I'm not going to do Nickelodeon. I'm like, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Because you know who runs these executives? Yeah. They're kids.
Yeah.
And when you go to these events, you become the star.
That's very true.
I'm telling you, and people like do not believe me. I'm like, just you wait. I remember being on How to Get Away with Murder, mm-hmm. and Viola Davis's beautiful daughter, Genesis, comes in, mm-hmm. and she's the age demo. Mm-hmm. And I have never, hand to God, never done this. I was like, please recognize me. Please recognize me. Please let me be cool.
Yeah,
please.
In front of Viola. Yeah.
So like, she's over there, and I'm like, like, Willow doesn't go down, like, yeah, anything, yeah, like, yeah. Please. And she did. She recognized me, but she was so sweet and shy that she was like, I think I know.
That's so awesome. Like, and then please. Viola's like, oh, sweetie, you
she
know
already,
her.
Like, she was already the most incredible human. So course, I just was
but
like,
it's always like cool to see, you know, a little fan. You're just like, ah, cool. Like in front of my hero.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They look up to me.
So that's what I'm saying. Really cool. Like, I really recommend that. Multicam is such a great introduction, especially from theater to get into TV.
And if you can do that, you can, your acting chops are just sharp.
Yeah, because it is a skill. People don't realize the difference between multicam and single cam. Yeah. And it really is an energy level and a comedic beat. Like everything is a rhythm in multicam that doesn't necessarily have to be the same in a single cam.
I mean, coming from that, from Liv and Maddie and then going to Jasmine and on my block, how did you find the character? How did you find the tempo, the rhythm, all of that? Like, was it a lot of, because I had to do a lot of improvisation with Eric.
Yeah.
The on-set acting coach. I had to find the character. I had to find the moments. It wasn't so much the character, but it was the moments leading up to a certain scene.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, like, how did you find the tempo, the rhythm of Jen?
I think what was hard for me was in season one, you got little seasonings of Jasmine.
Mm.
So to be like, hey, doing those things wasn't, I didn't have to keep that character for long.
Yeah.
In season two, that very much changed. So having to keep that high energy character and finding who she was in a conversation and not just little snippets was hard because I desperately wanted her to be a human being and not this like caricature. Mm. And I know who she is as far as someone who likes to be the center of attention, who likes to be, you know, everyone's friend, people pleaser, but also like, you know, I'm sexual and things like that. Like I get that, but those people, like those humans usually are going through a lot of trauma at home because they're trying to show you someone that
that's
so
how
you
they
don't
mask
see
it. Exactly.
1,000,000%
with the humor.
So trying to balance that was probably one of the bigger struggles that I've had.
Especially in season two, right? Because in season two, it was, after the last scene, spoiler, you know, after the tragedy that happened in season one, episode 10, the tone really changed. It took a completely different shift in season two with the tonality and just like it got
it was
really
my favorite season.
That was my favorite season too. I always say that, but it got very, the humor was still there. But the stakes were just, you saw the aftermath of the tragedy.
Yeah.
And it was felt in every single character. And then we got to see more of your character and what she was dealing with at home, with her father, with all of that, her full family. How did you prep up for those moments?
I was ready for them because I had already kind of envisioned that home life for Jasmine.
Before you even read, oh, wow.
When I went into the audition reading the pilot, I had to already come in with this is who she is. Not specifically that her father was a soldier, but that she had trauma at home.
Oh.
Whether it was abuse, whether it was neglect, whether she didn't really, like she was the caretaker at home. I knew something because anybody that has to put on this show, it's for a reason.
Absolutely.
So I knew that. And that's the only way I could justify her because I didn't necessarily want to go into four seasons of playing a
superficial
a joke,
character,
a punchline.
Right?
Yeah.
No, and you literally, that was like the perfect, you made her human. It wasn't just this cartoon on the screen. It was a real human being with emotions.
Because she exists. Everyone knows a Jasmine.
One of the scenes that crushes me is when Jasmine's walking up to Ruby's door. Uh-huh. She just brought him the chamoy?
I brought the
Cheetos. You brought like the chips, Flamin' and like Hot Cheetos, the sauce, all that stuff. And then it just shows how sweet you are, how the character's willing to go the extra mile for the people she loves. And then when freaking Ruby shuts the door on her, and then I was like, even in the scene, I think my line is like, dude.
Yeah. Like, you're like, that's not,
That was something beautiful. Your guys' chemistry again was just crazy. I didn't know anyone was going to get shot in the last episode. I was
really?
Like, no, we didn't get the last episode.
That's right.
Even in season two, we didn't get it,
right?
Yeah, that's
right.
With the kidnapping and all of that stuff. Another cliffhanger. But for you working on network TV, working on streaming, working on so many different projects, what would you say is the biggest difference? Like shooting for streaming versus for network? Like, which one do you like better? Because I hear there's a lot of rewrites on network stuff.
So like a multi-cam network show, like a sitcom.
Yeah, yeah.
The schedule is Gucci.
No.
The schedule is...
Wait, good or bad?
Amazing.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
It's everything. Yeah, it's like amazing. Mm. So basically, you go to work Monday through Friday.
Okay.
But your Monday through Wednesday are like you're home by 3-4 o'clock.
Oh, whoa.
Thursday, Friday is shooting. Friday's usually a live show. So you get as an actor almost like you're on in theater once a week, which is amazing.
I have no idea.
Especially for a comedy, because you want to get those real laughs that they can pepper in with the, you know, the fake laughs that they put in.
Yeah. Do they have like a laugh sign and all that stuff?
No,
like,
yeah, they do. They do? Well, I don't remember. I haven't been on that side in a while.
Oh, okay.
They have applause ones,
but
I don't think they have laugh ones.
Yeah.
But you also have somebody that hypes you up. Like they have like somebody doing that, and they're always usually great.
But like so the people who are like, woo.
They do like.
Wait, so those are like live?
Yes.
Oh, shoot. I thought they were pre-recorded.
No. A lot of it is. So Thursday you'll pre-record. And Friday you'll pre-record maybe a little bit if you ran over. And then you have a live show and it's the best. And then your late day is Friday and you get home at like 8-9 o'clock.
Mm.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's the most amazing. But I love that because I feel it serves the comedy.
Yeah.
I love maybe the filmmaking aspect of a single cam or like an on my block or a feature.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so much too.
No,
but
for
they're
sure.
very, very different.
No, for sure. For sure. I was actually talking to Paula about it. Like
being she's in front done
of,
it all.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Being in front of the screen or in front of the camera, being behind the camera. For you, is there any future in directing? What do you think?
1,000,000%.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm working on that now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm working on directing a short of my own so that I have something to show directors. But I've been blessed with a position where I know a lot of directors and they all like let me shadow them. Yeah. Like Lauren's one of them, you promise.
Nice.
Like that kind of that kind of vibe so that like I can, you know, really be ready when that time comes.
Yeah.
I think I want to start directing like a Disney or a Nickelodeon show because I know that world really well.
Yeah.
And the camera work is a little bit easier for me.
Of course, yeah.
To start off with. So I want to try that and then eventually do my own features, do my own projects. Yeah.
Ooh, and producing and all that
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Like,
I produce already, but
I
want to keep doing that. Writing.
I could never personally do it. I would
do what?
Direct.
Why?
I just couldn't.
You did this.
This is like, but this is like sit down, convo mic. You know what I mean?
Where do you
like,
start? You have to start somewhere.
I enjoy writing. I enjoy acting and producing. I'm producing a project right now. I like being involved in that aspect. For me, I think a big part of it for directing, and never say never, right? Maybe the day will come. Maybe the project will come that like I'm like, I have to direct this, right? But for me, I just... For me, it's I already have enough pressure mentally.
Yeah.
Like when I start a project, I'm like, don't F this up. Get sleep. Show up the set. You know what I'm saying? I think I would like die if I directed something.
No!
Like I literally like
but
I
that's
I think
why
I'd
you
be
trust
like,
your crew.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. If I had good guys like the guys here, that'd
exactly.
be pretty cool.
Exactly. And then you just have to be a little bit overly prepared.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
The only thing.
No, it's like Joaquin Phoenix, he says he's like anytime I know I'm about to do a project, I know it's about to start anxiety for the next 3 months and not sleep. So I personally couldn't imagine like, direct at this age, maybe because I'm 25. I'm like, it'd be weird to see myself as like the boss, as like directing people who are older than me, working with, you know what I mean? Legendary actors. I don't know. Not yet, but maybe.
I think you should think about it.
Yeah.
I think you're kind of already knocking on the door of it.
Yeah, maybe. I'll have to shadow. I have to shadow somebody.
Maybe you can shadow me one day.
Yeah. I'll be shadowing you. Speaking of the Disney stuff and the Nickelodeon stuff, I was just telling my friends, I was like, I'm so dumb. I was one of those actors that never wanted to go out for Disney stuff.
Yeah.
Never wanted to go out for Nickelodeon stuff.
Yeah.
And it was because my agent and my manager were like, hey, you understand these casting directors don't just cast that, but they cast other projects. That's literally what led me to On My Block.
Mm-hmm.
because I met with Danielle. I met with Amber.
Yeah, who do a lot of kid shows.
Of kid shows. They brought me in for a zombie musical, right, that I didn't get. Sung, danced, did everything. But because I performed under pressure, I believe, because I was able to perform under pressure, they were like, he's not right for this one, but let's keep bringing him back. Let's keep bringing him back. So I always tell aspiring actors, I'm like, yo, go out for everything.
Yeah.
Because you just never know who's watching. You never know who's watching.
And you shouldn't judge the work. It's not our job to judge the work.
Exactly.
Until you're to a place where you can like really afford to judge the work.
Yeah. No, you know? For sure.
But well, I get that.
Yeah.
But being able to say things like Willow doesn't go down, like in the straight face and like doing things that are kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, believing it,
I feel like has made me a better actor.
No, for sure. You know, this profession is really it's really funny and it's you know, some people will even call it corny, right? But
I mean, we're playing pretend.
No, for sure. And you know, I think in 2021 and 2022, I was like, what am I doing? It's kind of a weird profession, right? But then 2023 happened and somebody said something really life-changing to me. Because I was like, man, my job, you know, it's kind of corny. Like, because every time somebody asks me, what do you do for a living? I'm like, you know, I write, I do this. But I never say acting. They're like, dude, I know you act. Never. Especially in public. If they don't know me. But chances are they're trying to, they're like, hey, have I seen you? So I'm like, I don't know. But anyway, this person said something really interesting to me. They're like, hey, sometimes it's the silly things in life that keep us going. Whether it's a smile from your spouse, whether it's a giggle from your child, whether it's watching like your favorite character on TV every Thursday night or whatever. Sometimes it's the silly things in life that keep us going as human beings and give us the energy to pursue our own dreams and our own wants and take care of our own family and goals, right?
Yeah.
So for you being where you are today now, what's one piece of advice that you could give that younger artist, that, or not even just artist, that younger you, right? That younger person watching this who's like, I look up to her, I feel down, I need something, you know?
I think something I would have liked to have heard too is that you don't have to change anything about yourself to make it. That your story matters and you don't have to change it to prove yourself. I think that everything I was insecure about and I'm still insecure about is the reason I'm here today. You know, if monetize it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Use the flaws.
Absolutely.
And it's
your
funny.
Your flaws are your superpower.
I've been telling a lot of people, I'm like, I think Hollywood has changed. I think maybe 10, 20 years ago, we, at least, you know, Hollywood loved this idea of perfection. But nowadays you see a lot of TV shows, even in our show, right? Like, we're not the common leads.
Oh, right.
We weren't the common typical.
We got reminded that a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Thank you for that, by the way. I think any one time, he'll give me so much shit for saying this. You were there at the prom scene.
Yeah,
he was like, oh my God, you guys look so good. You guys like look like one of those like shows. Like you know what I mean? He's like, I didn't realize like how good looking our cast was. And I was like, excuse me? Yeah. You did it?
Yeah, no, but it's you know, it's one of those things where it's... We made something magical, right? And the kids can really, they can just see themselves in our characters forever, right? Yeah. That's the beauty about cinema, about TV. And it's also the curse, right? You have one bad day in the office, that's there forever.
Ever.
That do you, what's a little trick that you have for managing those nerves? Like for me, it's...
Be really good friends with the editor.
Oh, yeah. With Edwin, right?
Edwin, yeah.
Edwin, we miss you. For me, getting out of my head, like I'll have to like look at my hands and like literally breathe. And it's a weird technique that this one acting coach, I don't want to say his name, but because we had a falling out. But he's really great. And he taught me this trick. He's like, dude, look at your hands, breathe, get out of your head. You have the power to create whatever you want, whenever you want, if you are here. Mm-hmm. Be grateful you're here. Mm-hmm. Be great and put your attention on the love you have for what you're doing rather than the fear of losing. Because as soon as you start thinking about like, oh shit, what if I mess up? What if I do this? Chances are you're going to mess up. But if you place your focus on the love you have for your craft, your work, for the moment, then the rest kind of takes care of itself. But do you have like a sort of something that gets you completely out of your head when you're on a set? Because you've worked, like working with Viola Davis, like I would...
Yeah, I messed up a lot.
Yeah. I would be stumbling over my words.
Sure did. And I was like, oh man. And I still had those like, oh my God, they're just going to fire me.
Yeah.
But I just try and
talked myself down from that. I feel like there's two people in here, the one that's super anxious and the one that's always trying to calm the, you know?
Totally.
So I just have to talk. I just have to talk to myself and acknowledge you're anxious. Okay. Why are we anxious? Because you're nervous about messing up. Okay. But you're prepared. You prepared yourself. Like, I'm literally having a conversation with myself and just breathing and music and just remember that we're making TV.
Yeah.
We're not saving lives.
Yeah.
We're not, I mean,
we're not, we could be, but it's like, we're not like, it's not heart surgery.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not rocket science.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, sure. And there's always another take. And
yeah.
I think it's hard for us to remember that, but also we have to own are who we are and be like, you know what? No, one more.
Yeah.
No, I need one more. Mm. I think it's so easy for us to go, okay.
No,
moving
on.
It's like, no. This is part of our work
too. I learned
that
from you. You were such a boss on set. Like you were like, yo, I'm not saying that line. I'm not saying it. We're going to change it.
I was one time.
And everybody be like, No. But it was, even when I read, I was like, yo, it's kind of like,
yeah, I didn't like
it. It's kind of jacked up. We ain't going to say that. And then you were like, yeah, I'm not going to say that.
Uh-uh.
And you stood your ground. Whenever you need a note take, I need a note take. That wasn't the one. I know it could be better. And it was. You were always right. That's the thing.
It's people are so willing to give it to you. And I think that we were kind of trained to believe that we take up too much space and we just need to blend in when our whole job is to be better than that. Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's constantly reminding ourselves that we're deserving.
Yeah.
But I think that's like, you know, our parents are immigrants, right?
Yeah.
We have that mentality.
Yeah.
We have that we're just happy to be here. We're just grateful.
Yeah.
And we are.
We are.
But we demand more than that. We deserve to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We help a lot.
Yeah.
Why are we scared to ask for that?
We want to have our ideas heard, not because we're egotistical and this and that, because we want to elevate the work.
1,000,000%.
And obviously you are where you are for a reason, because you can elevate the work, right? So your input is valuable. No, yeah. I hear you. So, you know, 4 years OMB minus the COVID year, all of that stuff. How was it once it ended? Like for me, I didn't really process it. It was so late at night. It was like 5 a.m. I was like, dude, I just want to go home and sleep.
Yeah.
But it didn't hit me that was the last time we'd all, as a cast, as a crew, production director, everybody would be there in one spot. It didn't hit me. And we didn't have a premiere. Season three or four.
Or four.
Yeah.
Or rap parties.
Yeah, or rap parties.
Or four.
So again, like we never got that closure. We never got like that final, like, I'm going to miss you guys. Have a great, you know.
Well, you made that happen. You know, you got us a house and like we got to spend some time together.
Yeah.
We took photos that no one was else was going to pay to for
us to do. Yeah.
You know,
the mansion that we rented out. Yeah, that was freaking, that was Brett. That was Brett's idea.
Right.
Yeah.
It was smart.
Yeah,
it was
really,
really
smart.
Really smart. Sorry, I gave you credit. It should have been Brett. Brett, you're amazing. But no, it's true. I think we just genuinely wanted to look out for each other. But that night was a blur for me because I found out I was pregnant that day. So Selena was there.
You found out that day?
That day.
No.
Yeah. We ended the show on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got married, Brett had said, you better tell me you're pregnant next Thursday. It's Thursday. Are you pregnant? All right. You better be pregnant next Thursday. I mean, since I got married. And I found out on a Thursday.
No way.
Because we wrapped on a Thursday. And it was like so funny because we had really tiny nothing trailers.
Yeah. I know this
big season, star, yeah. Big star.
Yo, the season four trailer, I was like, no, I'd love for this, but yo, come on.
Why did I say we needed a barrier? And then that's what happened.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even talk about it. Anyway, so I open our little drawstring that Brett and I were shared. And he was like, hey, you know, we should like go out tonight. We should drink. I was like, I can't drink. And he was like,
you're pregnant.
What?
Yeah.
And I told, he was the first person I told.
Oh, no way.
I didn't tell anybody else until I told you all at the house.
No way. So you found out the last day of shooting?
The last day of shooting.
On my block?
The last day of it all.
Yo, but that's kind of like a
scene
gift.
You and I had everything.
Whoa.
I knew that I was pregnant.
That's
so
insane.
Everyone's crying around me.
I remember the scene
me.
where that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm talking about the baby.
Yeah, you're talking about the baby. That's right. Yeah.
And I had one.
Oh my gosh. That's wild. What the heck? I didn't know that. I would have been freaking out that whole day.
I
would have been like, oh my God.
You don't want to tell anybody because, you know, God forbid, so many things. Yeah.
Yeah, what we do is cool, but being a mother is like the most important job.
The best thing in the world.
And the best thing in the world, right? Oh my gosh. That is crazy.
It was great.
How was your husband's reaction?
You know,
did you tell him?
I told him right away.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say you told him though.
One of those things that it's like I had all these things like thinking like, oh, I'm gonna probably do like a cute little reveal.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I just like literally ran to him with the pregnancy test like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess I'll put this bowl away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll
was like, this isn't gonna work for me anymore.
That is hilarious. So cute. Those 9 months, how was it? 9 months of pregnancy. I heard it's some of the longest, months there. And
it was great up until everything. Like, I had gestational diabetes. I had low fluid. I had high blood pressure. So then it was like, so the tail end of it was really hard. But
you working? Did you do any projects while you were
I did
pregnant?
Go off before I could even announce that I was pregnant.
That's right.
So we had to shoot from here up.
Oh,
we shot 100 pages in 4 days.
No.
It was green screen, so the crew wasn't overworked or anything. Teleprompter.
Oh, thank God.
But
my brain can't function without it. Like,
but you know me. I can't just look at something. So it was like anything that came out of my mouth, you know?
No, I know.
But it was amazing.
I remember when we did, I think it was in season 3, you had like 12 pages of dialogue.
12
and it was
pages.
All you, just you showing us the PowerPoint, all that stuff. And I remember you
Homeo
showed up.
And Duet.
That was your Tarantino scene right there.
And I remember they put the fear of God in me the day before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
They looked at me and they were like, so we have a 12-page day tomorrow. Yeah. It's an ambitious day.
Yeah.
I hope we can make our day.
Yeah.
And then, this is what's shitty as an actor, is they did, so we did 12 pages, and not only did we kill it, and we got to like, woo, we made it. We didn't even go past our day. We made our day. We're going to go home early. Mm. They added a scene.
No, that day?
Yeah.
Which scene was it? Do you remember?
One of the most important scenes between me and Jason.
Oh, that's right.
It was me doing the whole, I'm a whole life's love, boo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful scene.
They added it. And I was so mad because I wasn't off book. Mm. I was like, no. And so it's like, you
that
just
was a
have
great
to be
scene.
Ready.
It came out great.
It ended up coming out great.
Sometimes
upset.
Sometimes just throwing it out raw is like something, you just get something beautiful. You kind of like black out in the moment.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shoot, that was a great
It was
scene.
Just like, I really looked forward to it.
Yeah.
And then to hear that we were about to do it right now, I was like, oh my God, no. I wanted to prep. I wanted to prepare. I wanted to do this for it.
No,
and
totally.
You kind of just have to do whatever.
No,
you know,
of
I think
course.
As an actor, we just have to be prepared.
Always.
That's it.
That's our number one priority, prepare. And whether you're getting paid for it or you're not getting paid for it, you prepare or you either see the benefits of preparing for better or worse, you know, but why not just have it always, you know, why not? It's better to, what's the saying? Better to have and not need than need
and
not
have.
Yeah, that's what I live by right there.
But then you overpack everything, don't you?
yeah.
You're an overpacker.
And then you have OCD and then you have like, you know what I'm
My
saying?
My ADHD is like running rabbit.
Yeah. Well, look, this show is obviously a huge part of our lives and, you know, you guys will always be family. As we did have that moment in the Netflix thing where we read our goodbye letters. That was a sad one. Hearing your guys' letters and,
I rewatch that video sometimes.
That one crushes me. I rewatch it too every summer, like around the time we wrapped it up. Right. I'm like, damn, it feels like it was just yesterday, but 6 years ago, it came out the show.
Really?
6 years. Well, March, over 6 years ago, we wrapped the show. We finished the first season 6 years ago. And then it came out March 2018. And we're going to do 2024.
Yeah, because we were the most binge show 2018.
Yeah. That's insane. Yeah. Yeah, we were the most binge show in 2018.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah. Were you at the Nickelodeon
Awards?
Teen Choice, you were there, right?
Yeah. I didn't get a surfboard because no one cared about me. But I was nominated against Millie Bobby Brown like two years later.
Yeah,
I lost.
Yeah.
She won.
Yeah, I remember that. That was crazy. I haven't even said this online, but I literally was so nervous that day.
Because
we were standing like in front of Zac Efron, Chris Pratt, all these major
Nick
actors.
Nick Cannon gave
you
the award, didn't he?
Yeah,
like, that's a big deal.
Nick Cannon, I think Lele Pons.
Yeah.
And I just remember going on. I've never done live TV before, ever in my life. I remember going on there. And I was like, dude, what if I like pass out on the stage or like something tragic happens and like it's live forever?
Yeah.
And I think I was about to receive the reward, and I think I saw Lele Pons. She like fell. She fell, and immediately attention went off me, and I was like, "Yo, are you okay?" And I tried to help her. She's like, "Are you good?" She's like, "Yeah, sweet, I'm fine. Like, don't worry about me. I'm a pro." I was like, "Hell yeah!" I was like, "That's how you manage, you know?"
She
and
does
you,
physical
and
comedy.
You just pick it up, and you just keep going. That's something I learned that day. I was like, "Yo, mistakes are only so long. They happen for this moment, and they're done.
Also inevitable.
And just pick it up. Yeah. You know, no one's judging.
What we do is so human. It's like, why fight the humans? Like, that's just gonna happen.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jess, obviously, you know, the world knows you as so many different characters.
The world knows me.
Where can everybody?
As ma'am.
Where can everybody find you? And where is your focus currently on right now? Besides obviously being, you know, an amazing mother.
Yeah. Well, that's first and foremost. Yeah. But besides that, making Illegally Brown, which is my short with Annie Gonzalez and Gabby Lugo.
Annie Gonzalez is in it.
Yeah.
She was great enough. Oh my God. She's great.
Oh my God. Annie is everything. You know, but don't worry about what I'm doing. Yeah. She is about to be Jenny Rivera in a huge project coming out.
Yeah.
And she's in Ethan Coen's like directorial debut, his solo directorial. Like, what the?
Whoa, she's like, crushing
that's
it.
That's my sister, and she's doing big
from
things.
Hentified,
so I really hope
from
Hentified.
Now to the
yes,
hell
and
yeah,
she was like
amazing.
A guest. I don't even think they had her being a series regular on that show.
Wow,
just
okay.
saying, should have been. But I love that show.
Yeah.
But no, she's incredible. So hopefully we get to make that film. And there's a few other projects that I am not only going to star in, but are creating and writing.
Whoa.
So that are in development. So.
Let's go. Yeah. I'm pumped. I'm pumped for all you guys.
Thank you.
You know, you're somebody that I truly look up to. Your work ethic and how you carry yourself and how you manage situations. I've learned so much from you. And honestly, I thank you for sharing the screen, for letting me share this screen with you. Seriously, you taught me a lot, and you know, you'll always be family. So thank you for coming on here.
Thank you.
We gotta do a little rap party after I finish this pod. Yeah, I'll rent
something
out. I'll rent something out for all of us. Yeah, you guys better show up though.
No, we will. No, you're incredible. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much. All right.
Cut.
It's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Ow.
Oh, yeah.